Hello, everybody, and welcome to another installment of the Super Podcast audio commentary. I am your host, of course, Super Marcy, and joining me is the one and only and the absolutely fabulous Miss B Harper. Hello, B.
Hello.
What the hell?
Oh, and how are we tonight?
We are just fine and dandy. How are you?
Fabulous.
How is it on that end?
What have we got planned for our listeners?
Yes, we have an audio commentary of the 2000 movie The Patriot, directed by Roland Emmerich, starring Mel Gibson, Heath Ledger, Jason Isaacs, and a bunch of other people.
Continue.
Basically, this movie was chosen for an audio commentary because we think Mel Gibson is drop-dead sexy. I mean, wait, no.
That's not
right.
No.
Yeah. I mean, we may or may not be slightly obsessed with Jason Isaacs as Colonel Tavington.
Just a bit of a background information upon my personal experience with Jason Isaacs. I do believe that the Patriot, or Lord Tavington, not Lord, Colonel Tavington.
Is he a lord, is he?
This is what Jason Isaacs does to me, people. Anyway, I think it's safe to say that after seeing the Patriot with Colonel Tavington, I was basically sexually awakened to the whole bad guy thing. Yes. He was basically the one who opened the floodgates and just got me all in lust with bad guys.
Yes, I think we can all agree that happened with him and this movie.
Yes.
So, yes.
Lots of heavy breathing in the theatre.
Yes, just prepare yourselves, everyone. This is definitely an X-rated podcast.
Yes, fair warning, guys. Like, this is probably going to get a little bit hot and steamy.
Yes, it is not for children.
Definitely
actually,
not.
Actually, Super Podcast is never for children, so.
Never, ever, ever.
So we're going to do this. It's a long movie, so bear with us. We'll try to be entertaining. If you've never listened to an audio commentary before, you can either just listen to the podcast and imagine the film in your head or just listen to us yammer on, or you can get out your copy of The Patriot, and we are watching the extended cut, I believe. Or the director's cut, whichever that is. So when we say 1, 2, 3, play, so we press play when I say play, then you press play on the movie. So you get it lined up to the 00000 bit, and you can follow along with us. And it's likely to get out of sync once in a while, but it happens, so we'll just deal with it.
But in the meantime, enjoy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I will do the countdown. We're both at 0000. All right, so press play when I say play. So 3, 2, 1,
play!
And it is playing.
Colombia.
Yes, there's the lovely lady.
Ooh, who's that sexy, sexy lady?
Isn't that, like, based on someone?
Eileen Dunn, I believe.
Well, yeah, there you go. This commentary is getting off to an interesting start already.
I only know that because of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. During his commentary, he says that the Columbia logo is based off Eileen Dunn. So there you go.
Ah, interesting. And now I'm seeing something for Centropolis Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we know we're in sync. Columbia Pictures presents. A mutual film company production. Yeah, do I really need to read the writing?
Mom, bring us the Isaacs.
I can't remember when it is he turns up, but he should just hurry the fuck up already.
I don't think he turns up for about 40 minutes into the film, so yeah. It may be a while.
So this movie, I don't think, is exactly, like, historically accurate. It is you know, by Roland Emmerich.
Uh-huh. And we all know how very historically correct Roland Emmerich is. That is, not at all.
Yeah. I can tell people some facts that actually things could have been very different for us. Because the first choice of Tavington was actually Kevin Spacey, but Mel Gibson was very expensive and they didn't actually have enough money left to pay Kevin Spacey. So, wouldn't it have been weird if we had Kevin Spacey in that role?
It would have been. It would have been interesting. But, you know, once you see an actor in a particular role and they manage to kill it, you can't think of anybody else in the role.
No. Although, would we still have had the same experience? I don't know.
Ah, well, I am sexually attracted to Kevin Spacey, so...
I think everyone should be. Everyone in their right mind should be.
But yes, it would have been a very sort of unique experience had the casting have gone in a different direction. But I'm glad that we got what we got,
yes,
so to speak.
Absolutely. And I also read that Mel Gibson added another child in this movie because he had 7 children.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson, you're so fucking demanding, really.
Well, when you have that much money and influence, I suppose that you can.
Yeah.
Although, oh my God, look, it's the Joker.
Before he became the Joker. He was so young, look at him. I mean, to be fair, he was still very young playing the Joker. And he did pass young.
He was taken far too early for us.
Which is so unfortunate because there would have been such great things from him.
Yeah, they really would have been.
Such an amazingly talented guy.
Actually, and Australian, there you go.
Yeah, and everyone says, like, Mel Gibson's Australian, but he wasn't born here. He was just raised here.
Yeah, he was born a Yank.
He still kind of has a bit of the accent. But, yeah, we will give him back.
Yeah.
Actually, there's nothing wrong with Mel Gibson as an actor. It's just in his normal life.
The attitude stinks.
Yeah, in his normal life, he's just a bit of a wacko.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a huge mondo wacko. Yeah. Mondo wacko.
Yeah, he is. Now, did any of these other kid actors go on to do anything? Because they kind of look familiar, but I'm not really sure. I know one of them passed away.
The little girl who played the mute daughter. There she is. Of Mel Gibson. Looking back at her, like, in this movie and just reading about that terrible news that came earlier on this year, it's really sad, you know?
Yeah, it is. Very unfortunate.
And she was a cute little girl.
I think you're ahead of me, just slightly.
Slightly. Mel Gibson just took a tumble out of the chair.
Yeah, I'll just saw that now. It's like you're waiting for it to happen. Now he's going to throw it. Fucking chairs!
Ah, Hadouken!
Yes, Mel. All right. Hopefully I'm caught up with you, but now I'm probably too far ahead.
Whereabouts are you?
He's looking at the gravestone.
Oh, no, I'm with you now.
Oh, okay, that's good. All right.
Yay!
That's good. I'm just looking up with the cast, just curious to see what the other people did, because I recognize one of them, but I can't remember where it might have been from.
It wasn't the middle child, the one who was younger than Heath Ledger but older than his siblings. I think I've seen him in other movies.
Yeah, that guy looks familiar, but I can't work it out. Ah, the other kid, he was in Jurassic Park 3. How sad is it that's where I recognize him from?
Mm-hmm.
I still think that movie is better than Part 2. Just saying.
Well, nothing will ever beat the first movie.
No, of course.
Simple
not.
As that.
Hey, Mel and your stupid hairstyle in this movie.
Yeah, just, I understand that was the style and stuff, but not a lot of men can wear that sort of hair. They really can't.
That was the style at the time.
That was all the rage, darling. In vogue. Yes.
I'm just here with my candles.
And I'm out of here.
And this guy's playing with his toy soldiers. It is.
Can you imagine what life must have been like back in those days? Like having no television, no internet, no nothing. Just
be bored out of sit my around mind. And read. I'd be so bored, man.
I'm sure you probably would have found a way to pass the time, but imagine if you travelled back in that era from, you know, where we live now and just you find yourself in this time period.
Well, I guess...
How much of a culture shock would that be?
I guess, like, going back in time, it'd be more interesting because you would see how things were done and you'd have to adjust to not really having electricity and just all the normal comforts, and you'd probably smell really bad too.
Mm. Yeah. And you have other things like health problems.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to freaking, like, get any kind of injury. You should probably get amputated and die of infection.
Yeah, or septic. Yay!
Yeah. I was going to say, this movie, like, on the plus side, it is actually a really good-looking movie. It's really well. Yeah, it is. The cinematography is really, really good, and the lighting actually is done really well.
Mm.
And you can definitely see it in this scene. Don't you love Mel Gibson's glasses? I'd totally grab some glasses like that if I went back in time.
You're just like a Poindexter.
Come on, where's Tavington? Jesus.
Although, baby. I gotta say, like, out of all of Emmerich's films, I think this one is his most mature.
It's his most non-Emmerich movie.
You've got a role in Emmerich movie, I know. Well, let's face it, it's not like, say, Godzilla or Independence Day.
Mm.
You know, it has some sort of tinge of realism to it, and I think that's what makes it a comparatively a better movie.
Things might not be like 100% like historically accurate, but a lot of movies, let's be fair, aren't.
No, they never are, because if you want something to be historically accurate, you'd have to go back in time and see it for yourself.
Yeah, and even so, like, documentaries can't always be, you know, 100% correct. A lot of things do kind of have to be speculative as well. But when you compare it to with other films, this is really, really different. And I don't know what his fascination is with America, but it's such a weird choice for him. And when I actually found out, like, he was the director, I was in shock. I didn't believe it. I was like, no, wait, what? He didn't direct this movie?
Oh, and I'm like, what the fuck?
He didn't direct this?
What is this sorcery?
There's no, like, explosions of the White House and a monster destroying the city and I just drop something on the floor. Go Team Marcy.
Oh, and they're burning avatars of redcoats. Yes.
So, yes, very, very, very weird that he did this movie.
But all the same, I think it was a good career step for him. He got to sort of show a different side to himself. And I think it worked out quite well, all said and done.
Yeah, and this was a pretty big movie at the time as well. And there was definitely a lot of, especially here in Australia, talk because of Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson.
Mm.
Because if there's an Australian in anything, this country will let you know about it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be basically all over the newspapers and everything. I remember that.
Yeah.
I also remember a lot of people in my class. Here's the thing. I didn't actually see The Patriot in cinemas, but there were some who did, and they were coming back saying, oh, you should see The Patriot. The Patriot is awesome. You know, it's a brilliant movie. Check it out. It's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah. I think I saw it when it first came out on DVD
mm.
or video, whatever. I rented them on one of the formats.
Mm.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, I was Marcy and I were speaking before the podcast about, you know, when we first saw this film, and I saw it through a DVD, and it was basically the first DVD that my parents got when they got a DVD player. So this was pretty much the cherry buster, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, when I got a DVD player, I didn't actually like own anything. I think I rented something to try it out, and it was like, oh my god, the picture's so clear.
Wow, what is this witch magic?
But I think the first thing I owned was The Skulls, which my mum bought. That definitely rings a bell as the first thing. And I think I've still got it. Which is good, because I liked that movie.
Oh, and here's Mel Gibson standing up and telling it how it is.
As he usually does.
Yes, but in much nicer language.
Yeah. At least they went to a lot of trouble with all the costumes and...
Oh, I'll say. Like, as you said, it's a very splendid looking picture, and that extends to the costumes.
Yeah, they all look really, really good. I wouldn't want to be wearing any of that.
Mm-mm. No corsets for me, thank you very much.
No way.
Not unless you give me a whip and some boots.
I think that can be arranged.
And there's Chris Cooper. Very good actor.
I think you're slightly ahead of me again.
Oh, god damn it.
I don't know how. But it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry that we're a little bit out of sync, folks, but as Marcy said...
Out of sync are you? He just showed up now. Well, he's on my screen. Now Mel Gibson's on my screen.
Hmm.
I don't know how, like, sync we are.
Okay, I just temporarily paused it, so we should be closer to each other now, yeah. So...
Now it's a shot of Heath Ledger. Technical
difficulties!
Now it's Mel Gibson. Now it's some other dude in a wig. Now it's Mel Gibson. Now it's Chris Cooper. We should be synced up.
I hope so. Oh, well. That will really suck.
Well, one of us is going to scream when Abington shows up.
And that's
so...
how we'll know.
Yeah,
that
pretty
would be
much.
The definite point.
Yes, that's how we'll know. This is all this mumbo jumbo. That's actually like almost in sync with Chris Cooper talking just then. Are they like debating
about war? I love watching those videos on YouTube, like when you have people voicing in for the actors and making them say stupid stuff.
See, didn't you ever like mute the TV and do that when you were a kid?
Yes.
Who didn't do that? Why does the internet act like it's a new thing when people have been doing it like forever? I mean, they used to do that on like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And that was like the funniest thing. I mean, I can tell what Mel Gibson is saying because they're just talking about war.
You know, all that boring stuff.
Yeah, we want to get to the action, damn it.
Yes, and when we say action, we mean.
Yes. We know what we mean.
We know, you know, all of us know.
Yeah, and that means when Mel Gibson gets his stuff up. No, I mean, what? No.
When Mel Gibson goes naked, wait, that doesn't happen.
I don't want that to happen. Damn it, Mel Gibson. I mean, maybe if this was, like, in the 80s where he was, like, good-looking young man.
And when he was, like, of a decent personality.
Yeah, when he wasn't, like, yelling at people.
Oh, and these racial slurs and shit?
Yes.
Oh, what happened, Mel? What happened?
Lots of alcohol.
Lots of bullshit.
Yeah. That's what happened, Mel Gibson.
Bullshit.
So, because I haven't seen this for a while, isn't it like Heath Ledger wants to join the war or something?
That's correct. He figures since he's the oldest one, he wants to make a contribution to his country. And that was the way it basically was. Like, sometimes you get the conscriptions, then you have people who actually volunteered to go to war.
Yeah.
And it's such a waste of human life whenever a war occurs, and then you have people who will willingly give up their own lives, even if they don't know if the cause is worth it.
Yeah. Such is life, unfortunately.
Mm.
And, nothing much has changed with that, because I think as long as humans exist, wars will unfortunately exist as well.
As long as humans don't get their act together, there's always going to be fighting.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can see that happening, at least not in my lifetime.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
I hold on to that hope, but we'll see, won't we?
Mm.
We shall see. I wish those hats were still in fashion.
The tricorns, yeah, I like those.
Those hats, man. I think we need to, give them a comeback or something.
Well, you know, fashion, one way or another, it always comes back.
Yeah, one day, Civil War fashion is coming back in.
Just not the corsets, guys. Not the corsets and not the ring skirts. I don't think I could handle sitting in a hoop skirt.
No, just those sexy hats. Oh, yeah.
Although, I must say, the red coat look is a very nice scene because it looks just so clean cut.
See, why is it when we watch movies like this, everybody generally is really well dressed? Say if you watch Tombstone or something like that, or The Assassination of Jesse James, they're all dressed really nicely. They will go and wear their coat and trousers to go out and shoot some people.
Mm.
These days, people don't give a shit what they wear.
Well, you still have the uniforms because it's an expectation, but when you go into battle, the last thing you're going to be worrying about is that little blood stain that's on your shirt.
But they still dress respectably going to war. But my point is, people seem to, I don't know, when you watch these movies, people dressed nice back then.
Mm.
See, if you walk around now, you'll see guys with their pants hanging down at their ankles, or some dude just wearing his tracky pants and nothing else, or a lady who's got shorts on that leave nothing to the imagination.
Just because it zips doesn't mean it fits.
There you go. I don't know. I think people should just dress up a little bit nicer.
Have some pride in yourself and have some sort of, dress for comfort. Don't especially dress for looks.
I mean, look at, I brought up Tombstone because I think that's a really good example. How lovely was, Kurt Russell dressed up in that movie?
Mm.
Or even though he was, practically dying, Val Kilmer in that movie. They all just dressed up nice and respectably. And then they're like, well, we're just going to go have a shootout now, but we're still going to be in our nice clothes.
When you compare, the outfits and the looks in Tombstone with something like a Sergio Leone movie, a Sergio Leone movie has, that roughness to it. These guys have lived in the West and have killed to survive. They've seen shit. But with Tombstone, they look quite immaculate in the way they dress.
But I do notice in a lot of Westerns, they're still kind of dressed respectably.
Mm.
And it's like, why can't people just dress that way now? I mean, it might be a lot of work, but still. Not that I'm one to talk, because I live in my tracky pants. But that's around the house. Or walking the dog. Or sometimes I'll walk the dog in my pyjamas. I don't care. But if I'm going out somewhere, I'll put a bit of effort into it.
Hmm. Show the world your best face.
Yeah. Uh-oh, kid's going to get in trouble.
Uh-oh. What are you doing wearing that, young man? You're not very good. What have I told you about wearing my things?
Naughty, naughty boy.
Now, bend over so I can spank you.
Oh, Mel Gibson. I mean, no. No, Marcy, that's wrong.
Well, right, we did tell everybody that this is going to be an X-rated podcast. So.
Yeah, and it's about Mel Gibson, and that's gross. I'm just warming up for you know what.
I know what. We all know what.
Yes. Oh, yes. But we also have to pass the time. This is a long movie.
Yes. We'll have to juggle or do some sort of circus act. Or sing, maybe.
I don't know. Mel Gibson, you're such a pussy in this movie. So, is that like their farm, or what would you call it back then?
Plantation. Because
they have servants or something.
Well, this was, I believe it was after Abraham Lincoln abolished slavery, so the...
They're just helpers.
Yeah, they want to stay there. They're consciously making the decision to stay there in this movie.
Well, they get paid, right?
Yeah, they get paid.
There you go, it's a job. They're workers.
You know, but they aren't like slaves in the you know, the sense that they were.
Yeah, this isn't freaking Django Unchained or 12 Years a Slave.
No, a little bit past that time.
Yeah, although I will say this: the weaponry of this era, while they're not the most accurate or by any means good, they are really, really amazing.
They are. Like,
I do like looking at, like, antique weaponry. There's a big reason why I enjoy watching shows like Pawn Stars, because they tend to get a lot of that in. And when I was in America in, like, an antique store, I did see an old revolver. It was like, I think it's $1,200 US, and I don't think they'd let me bring it back to Australia.
No, but I didn't think they would.
It was really nice. It was really nice. It wasn't in the best condition, but it's something that you can admire, like the workmanship that went into it. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, yeah, there is something to say, like, when you see a beautiful piece of craftsmanship, even if, you know, by rule of thumb, you don't like guns, that doesn't mean you can't appreciate how much work somebody put into making this thing.
Although they weren't exactly accurate, and I know that a lot of, you know, you might be right in front of someone and shooting and it'll still miss.
God damn it.
Yeah, but they did take a lot of time. And I think that kind of led to a lot of the, what's the right word? Like, working out ways to make them work faster.
Well, that's where the whole sort of strategy thing came through, like, you know, with battle formation and, you know, advancing and retreating in different lines.
Because the weapons weren't exactly, A, accurate or B, fast. And I think that really led to, you know, how much guns have changed, because they wanted them to actually have some use. And not that this is a gun lesson or anything, but
no, we're not trying to.
But it is interesting to think about, like, how wars and the such actually led to, you know, how the companies actually thought about their guns and how they wanted to try and improve the weapons. And I think they tried a lot of different ways until it kind of led them to what we know today.
It was a process of evolution, once you think about it.
Yeah, and it's like when you think about, like, the old gangster movies, how they have, like, these insane freaking machine guns.
Tommy guns. Yeah.
I think that just in the end it ended up just being the logical step for them to end up taking. And Heath Ledger has a big injury and he somehow made it home.
Yes, and somehow that wound isn't bleeding as much as I thought it would.
And where's the massive infection?
Mm-hmm. And what were we saying before, kids?
Yeah. Exactly. And I've seen, again, yes, it's on Pawn Stars. That's PAWN. A lot of, like, surgical tools from this era. Jesus, oh. I would never want to get injured.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, nope.
Yeah, and I really would, like, really want to go visit, like, museums over there where they do have a lot of this stuff. Because I do find American history interesting, just as I find, you know, Italian history interesting. Every country has its own history. Some are longer than others.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, looking back, you can see how, you know, things came to be. Like, somehow our country, which was used as a settlement for convicts, ended up the way it has.
And that's probably why we're a bunch of racists.
Yeah, and that's probably why we have dickheads in government.
Well, there's no accounting for bad taste.
Yeah. But anyway, now they've got lots of dead bodies on their place.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just is showing, I guess, the battles were fought anywhere. I don't know if that's true.
The battles could be basically fought in your backyard. But that was basically how it was.
I know there were a lot of, like, weird places where things had taken place.
Mm.
I have read a little bit about this era. Seriously, if this movie were accurate, he'd probably be dead from an infection.
Yeah, he probably would have been on, like, death's door.
Yeah, so he'd be getting up like, just button up my vest. Now they're basically a makeshift hospital. Oh my god, that's gross. Amputate his leg, Jesus.
Yay!
I think someone's going to show up soon.
Yes, I can feel it in my bones.
I thought you were going to say you can feel it in your loins.
Oh, I feel the fire in my loins.
See, we could do, like, a whole thing of, like, Colonel Tavington's sleazy romance novels.
Not that I've read anything about...
Oh, no, of course
yes, I
have. Not.
Who am I kidding? Oh, wait. Here he is, on his horse.
No, I'm still behind. Fucking hell.
Oh, god damn it.
Hasn't well, straight up yet.
It's official. I'm ahead.
Hold on. All right, there he is. He's talking. Maybe I'm ahead of you. I want his hat, actually.
Got that feathery deal going on there.
Oh, see, here we go. This is a bit racist. They're not slaves. And he's just like, I don't care.
This makes me so proud to be British.
I'm British. That's him. He's just like, I'm British. I can't do his accent whatsoever. Looks like Mel Gibson has, like, a bloody cross on his head.
I wonder if that was, like, foreshadowing for his whole sort of Passion of the Christ project.
Probably was.
I'm just saying.
God, this Lord, Colonel. See, you made me do it. I think he's just an asshole to be an asshole.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, at the core, Colonel Tavington was just about finding combat. He was just itching for a fight every time. He wanted conflict. It made him feel like a man, you know, to help him establish his dominance.
He's just like, fuck you, Mel Gibson. I'm just going to smile smugly at you.
Yes, my sexual awakening.
Happened right now.
Boom! All over again. History repeats itself.
It was that hat.
History repeats itself every time I watch this movie.
It's just it's that hat. That hat does it for me. Real.
Yes, yes, yes,
what a charming man.
He's such an asshole.
He is. He's like, just shoot your kids, bitch.
Yeah. Stupid boy.
Bastard, just kill them. All right, no worries.
I think Colonel Tavington is perhaps one of the most best bad guys in cinema.
Oh, yeah, he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, like, sometimes, well, most times, rather, like, they try to find a way to give the villain depth, and that's great, but, you know, when you have a bad guy like this, who's just the most worst person...
He shoots his son in front of him, Jesus.
Yeah, just, he's just, like, the worst person ever. And he doesn't, as you said, he doesn't give a shit.
That's his motivation. He doesn't give a shit. Sometimes you don't need depth in a backstory.
I mean, just like, you know, Jason Voorhees. Like, most of the time, he was portrayed as, like, a stone-cold killing machine without much of a human dimension. Like, you had his general backstory, but you never saw any insight into his psychology. And that's probably why he's one of the most... you know, successful horror villains. Like, he's just there.
Yeah, I think that works more with, like, the original Michael Myers, because it's not like you actually know him as a character. You just know he killed as a kid and he was sent away and then he got out.
And that's just, that's what makes him scary, like that unfamiliar, you know, sensation.
You don't know what makes him tick. You don't know why he is the way he is.
Mm-hmm. He just does it because
this
he wants
guy
to.
Is just like, Mel Gibson, I'm just going to kill all your kids, bitch.
Boom!
One down, six to go.
Woo!
Mel Gibson is, like, trying to act in this scene as he's got his son dying in his arms.
Well, truth be told, like, I think it is a good performance coming out of him because, as you said, he had, like, seven kids. So he knows what it's like to be a father.
I have nothing wrong with Mel Gibson, the actor. I do think he's a really good actor. It's just funny to make fun of him, that's all.
He's just an easy target. He sets himself up so easily.
Yeah, he really did. I think this movie's just, like, way cruel. Like, I don't know, like, if this really has happened at any point during... this era, but it's just, like, cruel to be cruel.
Well, maybe.
There he is again.
I remember reading at some point that the character of Tavington was based on an actual person. Yeah. But they didn't really go much into, you know, what he was all about, just the fact that he was incredibly ruthless.
Yeah.
Just in the ways of war.
Yeah. Oh, and he died with his toy soldiers. There's the emotional gut punch.
It's like a kick in the balls.
I'll have my revenge.
To curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
His house is on fire. Like, Jesus, man, can't this guy catch a break? God.
Well, let it never be said that Colonel Tavington is not thorough.
He's a bit of
British
a bitch.
Efficiency.
He's a bit of a bitch.
And that's why we love him. Like, I don't care if he's, like, the most awful person. Like, he's just fucking badass. He doesn't take any shit.
And it just makes him so sexy. It's just so wrong that it's so right.
Oh, yes.
Should we go over, like, other bad guys that we find, I don't know, appealing, attractive? I think a big one for us especially and I think people would have noticed if they listened to our Walking Dead podcasts, would be the governor.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Well, the thing is with the governor is that he had the luxury of having more of an in-depth backstory and that sort of thing.
We were all over him before that.
Oh, we were over him like a rash.
I mean, it helps he was played by David Morrissey.
AKA the Basic Instinct guy.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, indeed. And Mel's all pissed.
Yeah, he's got like 50 billion weapons.
Man, he's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger character. Oh my god, he's giving the kids the rifles.
He should have more. He could be like Commando for the Civil War.
Commando in the Civil War. That would be awesome.
I'm going to ring the asylum. Kind of
brand new.
I'm going to ring the asylum and give him a movie idea. Yeah, so what other bad guys do we like that we can give our listeners insight to?
So many. But I do believe one of your most recent ones is perhaps the Kurgan from Highlander. Am I right?
Well, he's been one for a long time, but as I was rewatching, I was just like, I'm going to tell B because I think she's going to agree. But how do you not love the Kurgan? How is, like, Clancy Brown not so just hot in that movie?
Well, I gotta say, he wore the bird thing helmet quite well. You don't get a lot of men who can do that.
And then he wears like that punkish outfit, and he's just got that
80s and shit.
And he's got that like voice, like "Never speak to me," or whatever he says.
"Never speak to me."
Yeah, it's so badass. He's such an asshole. I love him.
Oh, it helps that he's got that really sort of deep, gravelly voice.
He does, and he's actually really, like, he's a big guy, so he's really, like, physically threatening as well. But at the same time, you know, Connor McLeod is just so freaking adorable. Like, how do you not love him as well?
You know, God bless Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I love him. I mean, I think we can point out, like, we do have a deep love for our Mortal Kombat characters.
Yes. As everybody who read the site saw in our article that we did a while back, we love our Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Like, you know, Scorpion.
Oh, yes, there's a bad guy that I love.
There we go. That's a good one.
Even though he's a skeleton, I don't know why. I find him incredibly sexy.
But you know what? People actually find Skeletor incredibly sexy, so there you go.
Skeletal, as in He-Man.
Yes.
No shit.
No shit.
Wow.
And no I don't mean the movie version, because that's weird. I mean, like, the cartoon version.
Ah, He-Man! Ah.
Mel Gibson shooting Rampage commando style.
It's like a Grand Theft Auto. That's what it's like, man.
We've got to save Heath Ledger.
Well,
I don't think they would be that accurate with their weaponry.
Well, yeah, you never know. But just the same, I don't think Gibson's character would have.
I don't think him and two kids would have killed all those men.
Huh.
Just we'll put it that way. And now he's going with this smaller one. Now he's got his little tomahawk thing.
He's getting all Connor Kenway up in this bitch.
So what other characters do we love that are bad boys?
Well, there's bad boys and there's psychos. And we tend to go for the psychos.
Yeah. I mean, we can list some. Like, I go blank when I try to make a list. Which is really funny. Oh, God.
You guys should see a conversation between Marcy and myself on Facebook. We just go like 1,000 miles an hour when it comes to
and then I can't remember like anyone we've mentioned.
I'm trying to think. Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange and Cat People. Yeah. Yes. I always thought that Malcolm McDowell was good looking. I don't know why. He's not what you called conventionally handsome, but he's got something he's, striking.
He's
to
just
him.
So unique in his looks, but God, how do you not love him in that movie? Mm. I would say no for Caligula.
No, yeah.
That's just really weird.
Too much fist up the ass, if you ask me.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think we should do a commentary for that movie.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, I can't. I can't at
all. And that's why we should do it.
Yes. We absolutely should. I don't know why I've gone blank on, like, all these characters we talk about that are just so evil. I understand
you're getting a little bit of stage fright.
Well, there is, Michael Fassbender as Magneto.
Ah, Michael Fassbender.
I mean, he's an interesting kind of villain, but he's really bad and he's just really good.
But you can understand where he's coming from in terms of his character. Look at it this way. He was in the Holocaust. He saw some of the most ugliest aspects of humanity. So you can't exactly blame him for having such
an extreme. He had a twisted upbringing, but you can really understand his character. But when he gets bad, it's just so good. Kevin Bacon in First Class is so hot.
Oh, I know, especially in the 60s clothing. Oh. He wears it so well.
And the sideburns. Oh.
Yes!
And that reminds me, the one that every single, like, girl in the universe has gone mental over, like Loki.
Oh, yes.
Another villain to love.
Yeah, but I remember seeing it with my aunt, and she liked Thor and everything, and I'm like, yeah, he was all right, but I like Loki. And she was like, what? Him? The skinny guy? I was like, yes.
I know, yeah. It's just like, oh, my God, who is this guy? I love him. I want to marry him. He's so just weird and twisted. I love it.
I want him between my legs. Let's just put it that way.
Who doesn't at this point?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Who else is there? There's so many more. I always go blank.
Another video game character bad boy that I like, who has substantial depth, is Haytham Kenway from Assassin's Creed 3. When I saw Jason Isaacs and when I saw Haytham Kenway, they're both very, very similar because, one, they're British. Two, they have a very sort of distinctive bearing about themselves. Three, even in the most cruelest of moments, like, you still got to admire them. Like, because of just how ruthless they are. But, yes, I don't care if he's a bunch of pixels. Haytham Kenway is fucking hot.
That's what I love about, like, video games and stuff, is they've managed to make these, like, really awesome characters.
Mm. Ooh. I also have a feeling that Haytham Kenway probably wouldn't have been as sexy if he wasn't voiced by the voice actor who gives him... like, his performance. Like, Adrian Hough gave that character so much dimension, and I think that's what really attracted me to the character. It was Adrian Hough's performance rather than just the pixels.
Mm. Yeah, because you always do. Now you do have people doing their voices, like, giving full performances. Mm. There was another one I thought of, which was obviously Hook from Once Upon a Time. Duh.
Oh.
He's like a big one.
Yes, you should have seen us two a couple of weeks ago, people. It got ugly.
Yeah, I should actually keep watching that show because I kind of stopped for no real reason. I need to catch up. Oh, God, he's so amazing. Oh, hold on.
Oh, and Mads Mikkelsen is Hannibal.
Oh, God! No!
He just exploded.
Mads! That man kills me every time.
Those cheekbones, man.
Seriously, like, as Hannibal, I'm like, you can chop off my leg and eat it. I don't care.
He can eat me any way he likes.
He is just like, oh, my God. Just fucking dooming already.
And you don't care if he's a cannibal and he's a psychopath. He's just really nice.
It just makes him that much more intriguing, which is just weird.
Precisely.
Oh, and another one we've talked about recently is Sebastian Stan as, like, the Winter Soldier.
Yes, I remember After having seen that, Marcy, myself, and another friend of ours, Heather, like, we all got together and started to talk about Sebastian Stan.
Which is like, so, I think he's really hot.
And Marcy's mobile phone had, like, the best glitch ever, like, the best typo. Bucky wants to fuck you. That was one of the best typos ever, like, in the history of humanity.
Oh, God. That was funny. Good one, phone. So, do you think... look, it's Adam Baldwin. Another badass that I totally love.
Jane from Firefly.
Or Animal Mother from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yes, yes.
When I met him and he saw that picture, he was like, oh, so you like the violent stuff, eh? And I'm like, yup.
Yup. So, yes, what were you saying?
Do you think Jason Isaacs has aged, like, really sexily?
Because
he just seems to get, like, better and better.
He's always looked like that to me. I don't think he ever had a baby face.
No, but, like, even, you know, 14 years later, he just is still so hot. Mm-hmm. He just looks like he's gotten even better.
Like a fine wine.
Yes. Like a fine wine.
Like fine wine. Pour into my glass and suck him up. Yes, I was somewhat disappointed that Jason Isaacs was not Satan in the Rosemary's Baby remake from NBC. I was just so disappointed.
Well, what was he? Was he like one of the Satanists or something?
Yeah, he played the neighbor to Rosemary and her husband, Roman Castevet. And who plays wife? Her name draws a blank, but... Yeah, like, he played one of the neighbours and one of the Satanists, but he didn't actually play Satan himself.
Yeah.
And that's just, like a huge trespass to me, because can you imagine him playing Satan?
I'd like to see it.
Well, in a sense, he is kind of playing Satan in this movie, but it's nice to have the official sort of title.
And you know who played a really hot Satan, even though the movie was shit?
Who did?
Gabriel Byrne.
Yes! Oh my God!
He also played a really hot priest. But then again, we all know that I have that weird fetish about good-looking priests.
She's got a whole sort of forbidden fruit thing, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to be good-looking and not... They have to be into women.
Yeah.
Just saying. Like, fully grown women.
Grown-ass women!
Yes. Oh, hurry up, Tavington. I'll see you again, damn it.
he makes us wait a long time, but he's always worth the wait.
He is. I don't know if we're even in sync, but Mel Gibson's at home and Heath Ledger just walked in. Well, actually, is he not? He's not at home, but he's at a place.
He's staying at his sister-in-law's plantation because, you know, their house has been raised. That's so they're exactly. going to stay with her.
Yeah, so he's there, sitting down in front of the fire, and Heath Ledger walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you up to
and
that?
There's a bit of a thing possibly going in between Mel Gibson and Jolly Richardson's character. But it's nice and subtle. Like, it's not, you know, heavy breathing, you know, bare-breasted and bare-ankled all along the way.
They don't go bonking, like, in the attic or anything.
No.
That might have made this movie a bit more interesting. There's this famous scene where he goes, "No, you're my child!" And then he runs out.
Yeah, I've got to say Jolly Richardson is a very good-looking actress. She's beautiful. She's
gorgeous.
Love her lovely blue eyes.
Mm. She looks really young here too.
Mm.
But actually everyone just looks young in this movie.
Well, it was made like 14 years ago. So
it's so weird to think 2000 was 14 years ago. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
It doesn't feel that long, does it?
No. It's very weird. Although, in my mind, I still wish it was the 90s.
Oh. Talk about one of the best eras to grow up in. Like, yeah, sure, you had the 80s and everything and it's music, but still the 90s was a fantastic time to be a kid.
The 90s was a very interesting era to grow up in.
It was. No, back then music was still quite good, generally speaking.
It wasn't until we hit the 2000s or the noughties when music just went shit.
Yeah, when it mostly went downhill.
And I mean, like, mainstream rubbish. Like your Justin Bieber's and bullshit. Sorry, I just made B just vomit. That's like 3 days worth of food right there. Soz. God, I don't remember this movie very well. It's been so long since I've seen it.
You just remember Jason Isaacs.
That's all I remember. I'm pretty sure, like, there were times I put this movie on and just fast-forward it to his scenes.
Although, I'm pretty certain he doesn't get naked in this movie, so, oh well.
Just imagine he's naked.
Oh, God. That's quite easily. You know, I'm kind of a couple of steps ahead of you there, sister.
Oh, and you know who else is, like, a really hot sort of baddie? Was Jason Clarke in White House Down.
He played the terrorist, right?
Yes.
Yes, I remember him.
Yes, he takes over the White House. I mean, he's like really just in general, but he was bad in that movie and that was just extra hot.
Do that again.
See, it's like with the wrestling, like, all my favourite characters are always the heels. I just love the bad guys.
Well, here's the thing. Bad guys have more fun. And that's what makes them so interesting and so compulsive to watch.
It's like, you know, Gary Oldman or Alan Rickman, always known for their, like, villainous roles, but they're so hot. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Do you need a cold shower, darling?
I do, right now. Seriously. You know, they still should have the tradition of, like, playing drums into battle.
Keeps the troops, like, stepping up in unison. I also love the injuries that you see, like the gunshots and, you know, the wounds.
I think they tried to make it realistic in that regard, like...
And I can appreciate that.
I think they tried to add realism to, say, the cannons. Because a lot of people think, like, they're going to explode. They don't. It's just a big freaking, like, bowling ball type thing that's going to just ram everything over in its path.
Basically, it renders you without legs. Like, if you're unlucky enough to be in its path, like, it'll just go...
out. I mean, I don't know if they fought battles, like, in this way. It seems weird to me. Like, why you would just stand there and wait to get shot? But
I think it's because of, cannibal. I think it's because of the, just, like, the lines and formation. Like, you had people taking each other's places. Like, somebody would fire and then somebody else would take your place while you went to go and reload. So it was more or less a battle strategy than anything else. Still, it was quite unusual. I agree with that.
Yeah. And you see, like, in a lot of games, they actually do this as well. All right, are we getting to Tavington?
Yes.
So I'm thinking that's him on his horse. There he is.
Being a naughty boy.
He's going to take his hat off. Oh, he's got blood on his face.
Oh, yes. Hot bad guys with blood on their faces. You know, 10 points. Gosh. 10 points.
Yes, we're sickos, we know.
But isn't that why you love us?
Yeah. He should take his clothes off. You're very dirty.
Yeah. Although that sequence later on in this movie, like when he's by the creek.
Oh, my God.
holy shit, like, that is so pornography hot. To me.
I know. You may as well be freaking naked.
Yeah. Yes, take off your clothes and get yourself all nice and clean.
Take your clothes off.
Take off your clothes. Take remove your, clothes your firearms off. And your underwear.
Yes, we are sick, perverted women.
Mm-hmm. But then again, I think anybody who reads our site already knows that.
I would say so. Anyone who knows us in general should know that.
It's no use trying to change us, people. It's no use.
It's like, not going to happen.
Others have tried and failed dramatically.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. We are who we are and we love it.
We have become at peace with ourselves.
Yeah, everyone else should too. That's why we're such good friends. We can just be perverts together.
Well, it's the fact that we can be so frank.
And just frank on this podcast too, apparently.
We want to spread our perversion with the masses. That's how it works. They want to understand us, so we give them that privilege.
Mm. All right, well, because this is a commentary, it's not like we can pause this or anything. I actually need to go get something to drink because I'm very thirsty and I didn't bring a drink in here with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be right back, but B, you can talk to the listeners.
Alrighty then. I'll see you back soon.
I will be back.
Okay, so now Marcy's gone. Let's have some fun. Just for reference, right now on my screen, we are in the American battle camp, and Mel Gibson has just met up with, what's his name? Checky Caro, as well as Chris Cooper's character. Checky Caro's character is a French military man. He becomes Gibson's ally for all intents and purposes. I'm sorry, I'm not being particularly entertaining.
I'm back.
Usually, oh, she's back. Yay!
I'm back. Were you giving everyone a history lesson?
Well, I was basically telling them where I was in my sort of screener of the movie.
Yes.
Just to bring them up to date. Just to keep on reminding them that, yes, we are watching the movie rather than, like, branching off and talking about shit.
Yeah, as we tend to do anyway.
Yeah. But just so. It's a nice thing to do.
I think we're at the same general area.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at all the scenery in the tent.
So who do you think had the better uniform? The Americans or the Brits?
The Brits. Although I do like the American hats.
The tricorns.
Yes. I want one.
You can wear them around, and if anybody doesn't like them, you can just say, deal with it.
Yeah, I don't know where I'd find one, but yeah, I want one. I don't know if it's going to look particularly good on me, but I want one.
You know what I want? I want one of those capes that nurses used to wear back in the 1950s and 60s.
Yes.
Those were really, really cool.
How cute were nurses' uniforms back then?
Like, they had some really nice ones. But the ones with the capes, they just look so...
sophisticated.
Yeah, sophisticated and really cool.
Yes, they were cute. Now it's basically just trackies.
Yes, I feel comfortable in tracky dacks.
Yeah. You have to nurse in your trackies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd love that. You should see my nursing uniform for JCU. It's very unfashionable. But it's comfortable, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not exactly flattering, let's just put it that way.
Well, it does the trick.
It does the trick, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, you're making an example of the university, you're representing them, so you want to make sure that you look, you know, you look the part.
Sorry, I'm just staring at Tavs. You're just standing there, like, all sexy-like.
I'm sexy and I know it. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Yeah, that's it. He needs to be out of those clothes and wiggling.
I don't know what to say to that.
It's because I'm a weirdo.
No, this is basically how I am whenever Marcy and I talk, like, about all these things. Like, half the time I'm just bursting into incomprehensible laughter, so I'm thankful that I'm actually typing to her rather than actually speaking.
Because we're crazy bitches.
Oh, God.
Marcy says the darndest things.
And, yeah, Tabitin's basically giving, like, a bit of a history lesson about himself. Like, his father left his family in like destitute, not giving him like a penny to his name, so that's why he's taking part in the war effort. So there is a little bit of depth for the character, but not a lot. But even so, Jason Isaacs makes it work.
He does. He's just he's really compelling to watch.
But like, he's not just good looking. Like, obviously, he is very talented, and he manages to, you know, add dimension to even the most sort of like straightforward type characters.
Yeah, but it's like with everything he does, he is just such a compelling character, and especially in the first season of Brotherhood that actually starred him and Jason Clarke as brothers, where he was like the bad guy criminal, and Jason Clarke was like into politics. They had an interesting dynamic, but they were actually both just really compelling to watch, and that made that show so interesting that I think it's a shame that it only went for 3 seasons before it got cancelled. I don't think enough people were watching it at the time,
and shame on them. Seriously, it was a good series.
I mean, as soon as I heard like Jason Isaacs was in the show, I was like, I'm fucking watching it, man.
Then you see him bonking all these random chicks and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, get your clothes off. And it's like, okay. Although, to be, I actually haven't seen some of his more recent TV stuff. But I know I need to change that, but it's just a matter of getting the freaking right state of mind to watch anything anymore.
Yeah, the most recent thing with Jason Isaacs I saw was Rosemary's Baby. And truth be told, it was okay, but it's not exactly memorable.
Yeah, I want to see that Case Histories show.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Because that looks really interesting.
It is. It's got a very sort of a very methodic approach to its storytelling. And it's got some very compelling characters.
I do like my British shows. But you know what I love him in, and what just, it really put me over the edge, was obviously him in Harry Potter as Lucius Malfoy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, what a baddie.
No man should have to, you know, have, like, a silver wig, but God damn, he made it work.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Seriously, like, oh my God. Oh God, I love him in that.
And just the way he handled that cane, like, it was like an extension of his body.
He could use that cane to cane me any day.
He can, like, stick that, I'm sorry, what?
What now? What are we saying?
What? Huh?
Who's what was that?
Who's naked?
But yes, I do have a fondness for Lucius and Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter. And it is good to say, I did get to meet Tom Felton, so I have met one of the Malfoys, which is good.
So you just need to meet the other one.
Yes, I need to meet his daddy dearest.
Who's your daddy?
But speaking of Isaacs, we do have to mention how good he was in Peter Pan playing Mr. Darling and Captain Hook, which is actually a tradition, I think, on the stage of Peter Pan to do so.
To have the same actor who plays Mr. Darling as Captain Hook.
Because it sets up a really interesting relationship for Wendy. In that way. But, oh, my God, he was just so good as Hook.
Just, again, like, he wears, like, a really sort of ridiculous hairpiece, but he makes it work. Like, just the way his Hook looks, you know, no actor who plays Captain Hook should be that attractive. But then again, you have Colin O'Donoghue in Once Upon a Time, so that pretty much makes my point redundant.
I mean, even Dustin Hoffman in Hook managed to pull off the whole ensemble.
He looks so fabulous.
Oh, he does. I'm just looking at, like, a lot of other movies that we can mention. A really interesting one that he did was called Divorcing Jack, that also had Rachel Griffiths and David Thewlis in it. It's a really weird movie, but they're all just really, really good in it. And if you're playing at home, he also does a bit of drag, because he did that in Sweet November.
Yes!
And I love it. I'm seeing
a picture of him wearing this darling green sequin dress and this darling wig.
I would so, like, not even hesitate to go out with him if he wanted to cross-dress.
Seriously, he has such nice legs in that movie. Like, I was envious.
Yes. He does it so well. I was looking... a really interesting one that's a weird movie was The Last Minute, and he kind of plays a gangster who breaks out into song towards the end of the movie, and it's one of the weirdest but most awesome things ever.
Does he have a good voice?
He's miming. So
he's lip syncing.
Yeah, so it's really just weird and funny.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame. I would have liked to have seen him sing.
It's a weird but interesting kind of movie. And of course he has played a priest a couple of times, and no complaints from me.
Oh yes, and what's wasn't that? One of your favourite priest performances from what was it? When he did the dirty with somebody.
Yes.
when he sexed some chick and he wasn't supposed to because he was a priest.
Yes. Or I really like the end of the affair where Ralph Fiennes thinks that there's something going on between him and Julianne Moore. But he's actually being a nice priest. But I love that movie. That's a Neil Jordan movie, so yeah, it's amazing. And I whispered that for some reason. I'm a bit bored with this movie because I'm just waiting for more Tavington action.
Yes! You know, we can always, like, look up some erotic Tavington fan fiction and read it out loud for our
just scare everyone away.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If they can't hack it,
get out of here.
Get the hell out of here. Get out of my kitchen. Get away from my soup. I'm cooking that.
Alrighty then. Don't make me angry. Actually, do you know what movie I think he's, like, really cute in? Dragonheart. Do you remember that movie?
Oh my goodness. I could not believe that was him.
I know, how funny is that?
He just looks so different.
Yeah, he's so young.
But he still didn't look baby face.
So he's been voicing Satan in the Castlevania games.
Yes, another friend of mine, Sarah Williams, on Facebook, like, she and I were, like, you know, spazzing out about Jason Isaacs, like, voicing Satan, and I have played the game, and yes, he does rock, and interpretation of Satan is very fascinating because he looks both attractive and repulsive at the same time.
Interesting. But he should actually just play Satan in a movie.
Yeah, it needs to happen. Mm. It really does need to happen.
Yeah, it does.
What sort of Satan do you think he could be? Like, what would be his sort of MO, do you think?
A sexy one.
Like a Satan that likes to sex people up?
Yes, and it should star me.
you see him banging some chick in the broom closet or something.
Yes. Sorry, Marcy and Jason Isaacs. Satan is getting sexed up. Rated X. Marcy, you're so naughty.
Oh, you oh, wait, here he is. Naughty
here he is.
Girl.
Here he is, here he is, here he is. Here he is. Now he's gone. How dare he disappear? How dare you?
Whereabouts are you up to now? Like, just to give us an
example.
They
just showed that wanted sign.
Oh, yes, yes. I also got to say, I do appreciate the attention to detail that they've paid to, you know, with these sequences with, you know, Mel Gibson's characters, you know, militia, like, ambushing Brits and that sort of thing. Like, just using guerrilla warfare and taking advantage of their own sort of surroundings against the invading force. I like it when movies, like, show something like that. Like, people who don't have a lot of, you know, military organization, or rather, like, a lot of sort of, you know,
but that's legit something that they would do. It's a tactic that's been used for a long, long time.
And, you know, it works.
Mm.
And it continues to do so.
Mm. At least the battle scenes and fighting scenes are really, really well done.
Oh, they're very well choreographed.
Mm.
And very sort of well put together in terms of editing.
Mm. I mean, it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not. Definitely not. I think, as I said, I think it's one of Emmerich's better films, comparatively speaking.
Although, didn't he try to go serious again with Anonymous?
I think so.
That was him,
but
wasn't
who
it?
Knows with him? Who
that
knows?
Was him, wasn't it? I will look it up because I'm thinking it was him. I haven't seen the movie, but I've not heard very pleasant things about it.
I can't. I haven't actually seen the film either, so I can't give much of a educated opinion on it.
Because I think that one was, yeah, it was him. it was trying to say, like, it's based on a theory that someone else penned Shakespeare's plays and he actually didn't do it.
Yes, I remember hearing about that.
And people just say, no, it's just, it's full of shit. And it's not very good. So, yeah. Then he just went like, oh, I'm going to fucking make White House Down and then I'm going to make Independence Day sequels.
Well, basically, you got to give the audience what they want.
Yeah, and thanks for sending me that picture. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You gotta love the way he's gripping that pistol.
He can grip that pistol any way he wants.
Boosh.
Okay. Well, this is a really nicely lit setup scene here.
I like the fact that it's, like, set in a bayou, like, with all this water and, you know, marshes and everywhere. It's got a very sort of romantic, otherworldly sensation about it.
And Mel Gibson has to have his big cross behind him. Just in case you didn't realise he was Catholic.
Heavy-handed much?
Just in case you didn't realise he was Catholic or anything.
I am Jesus! I am Jesus!
If anyone's seen the South Park episode about the Passion of the Christ, that's the best Mel Gibson portrayal ever.
No. Arguably the only.
Well, when he was on The Simpsons was pretty entertaining. Or when they did it on Family Guy. And they came up with Passion of the Christ 2. And they teamed Jesus up. They teamed Jesus up with Chris Tucker.
Passion of the Christ 2, crucify this.
Anyway. Yeah, this movie gets a bit boring without Tavington on screen.
It does, doesn't it? Like, he's got that presence about him. Like, you know, when he's on screen, like, he has attention. Your full attention. But yeah. When he's gone, it's like, yeah.
It's like a fuck off Mel Gibson.
Stop pretending. I mean, yeah, Mel Gibson, as you said, is a very good actor on that basis. But let's face it, like, Colonel Tavington is one of the highlights of this movie.
Yeah, he's the reason to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Look, he's coming back up again, I think.
And I think this was perhaps his first mainstream Hollywood role.
Yeah, I think so. There he is. Hello.
And there's Tom Wilkinson's character. Yeah. I love Tom Wilkinson as an actor in general, but as his character, Cornwallis, like, he is hilarious because he is just never, ever satisfied.
He's so well known as just playing that British bastard. He's great. Hello, Tavington.
Oh, it's a horse blanket. Oh, I don't know, sir. Actually, it looks quite nice. Very well, it's a nice horse blanket.
Oh, he's so lovely. I do like it when he lets his hair down, though. Sorry, I'm just, like, watching
him. What is such a dapper queen? Oh, love him.
We're just captivated by his performance. We're not talking.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We haven't fallen asleep. Quite the opposite.
Now he's going to wear the horse blanket. I'm glad he's so, like, obsessed with his wardrobe.
Well, he was an incredibly vain sort of individual. Oh, yes, this is the part with the fireworks. Or rather, the explosions.
He needed something, didn't he? Roland Emmerich is known for, like, just blowing up everything as much as Michael Bay does.
Oh, you can never have an Emmerich film without something.
Imagine if those two. Imagine if those two got together and made a movie. It would just be explosions. The movie.
Yeah, it would pretty much be like an explosion porno.
It would be. They just blow up America.
They'll blow up the entire world.
Yeah. Well, Roland Emmerich's already done that.
Oh, quite a few times.
And we should add an interesting fact that Jason Isaacs and Paul W.S. Anderson are actually very good friends.
They are. And, yes, I think Paul W.S. Anderson has managed to kill Jason Isaacs a couple of times.
Yes, he has. He's had a few, like, little cameos in some of his movies. And, of course, Event Horizon.
Yes, when we saw his character be vivisected by Sam Neill.
But we do enjoy that movie.
Well, you know what? I do too. Like, I think it's highly derivative and it's nothing original, but it's still incredibly entertaining, like, if you're willing to just go along with
it. Yeah, I think it's a shame, like, we didn't really get to see the full cut of it. Because it does go into some really weird and dark places.
I think it's just because of, you know, as you said, it goes into weird, dark places, and probably that's why it had to be cut. They didn't want audiences to, like, you know, see anything too traumatic. But that was in the spirit of the film. Like, this ship had gone to hell. Literally.
And frickin' Mel Gibson was back in church again.
Yeah.
Seriously, man, you don't have to frickin' be there all the time.
You don't have to force it down our throats, guys.
Seriously, didn't he own a chapel or something at one point?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I reckon he did. At least that's what I heard. Although, it needs to be said, I really don't like The Passion of the Christ.
I think
it was John Landis that said it. It is, like, a modern-day exploitation movie.
Well, if you're going to show a film about this poor guy being strung up on, you know, a wooden board and left to suffocate through crucifixion, that is pretty sort of hardcore.
It is really hardcore. And, you know, I do find, like, the stories of Jesus himself interesting. I have actually read the Bible. That might surprise people, but I did go to Catholic school, so it was kind of a given they had to do it. But you know, I think the best scene in that movie is just a scene of Jesus and Mary when he's, like, doing his carpentry, and it's a really sweet scene. And I think if you're going to make a Jesus movie, don't just do it about that one thing. There's much more other interesting things to do, and you don't need to make it a really kind of full-on sappy kind of thing. But that's my opinion.
Well, yeah, don't do what Ridley Scott is doing with Exodus.
Isn't he just doing his own thing, pretty much?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think we've all heard about this whole sort of casting choices controversy. You have mainly sort of Anglo, white, European, American, British actors playing the lead characters of Moses, Ramses, you know, all those people. And then you have, you know, like African Americans or Iranians or, you know, people of Arabic descent playing like slave characters and nobody like having like a lead role. And here's Ridley Scott saying, you know, we've done lots and lots of research into the culture and everything and blah blah blah. I suppose at the end of the day, like, it's the performances that you're looking for, but all the same, you're saying something incredibly touchy if you're saying that you put a lot of time and work into researching how it was back then.
Yeah, I think you kind of, I mean, when you're doing, like, a big movie, you kind of do need actors that will bring in an audience, but you also need to have someone who's actually going to be really good for the role, and sometimes they might not necessarily be that race or anything, but I think if you're kind of purposely doing it, it might be a bit weird, but we have seen a lot of, you know, when he did Kingdom of Heaven, in my opinion, I think he actually cast that really well. And you did have, like, Arab descent actors actually playing those roles. Which was good to see because it wasn't, like, an all freaking white cast. And that's actually, like, one of my favourite movies because I really enjoy it.
I prefer the director's cut of
Oh, so much better.
Very much so.
And I think that's one of his best movies, and I actually think it's just really well cast. I don't really know what he's doing or what his thinking is with Exodus, but I guess we can just wait and see and judge then and see if what he's saying is indeed the right thing. I don't know.
Because he is a very sort of competent director. It would be foolish to say that, you know, he can't, you know, do what he does, because he does, and he does so well. He tends to overestimate himself sometimes, and that's why I feel some of his slip-ups have been, like, say, you know, Robin Hood.
We both went there.
Or, say, like, Prometheus or something. Yeah. Like, they probably had, like, a good idea to begin with, but I think Scott gets a little too overwhelmed with how smart he believes himself to be.
See, like, Prometheus could have been great. Like, that had the perfect cast. The script just so let it down. And Robin Hood just, it wasn't well cast, it wasn't well written.
It was
the original idea for it, I think, is what they should have gone with.
Hmm.
Yeah. But again, I think you just kind of got to see things to really judge it. I don't like prejudging movies. I like actually seeing them. And that's the reason why I actually saw all the bloody Twilight movies. Now I can say that they're pretty crap.
Well, here's the thing. You actually saw them, so therefore you were able to make an accurate assumption rather than just, like, saying it's shit because
I didn't really go into thinking, like, it's going to be shit.
Mm.
Like, I just went in, you know, give it a chance. And even though it's, like, boring and nothing happens, I actually didn't mind Breaking Dawn Part 1. I thought it kind of handled issues that the other ones didn't really. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I went with that one. It's still not a good movie.
Oh, definitely not.
None of them are. So I'm just watching Tavs, like, just murder a bunch of people.
That's what he does.
I think that's the moment where he finds out Mel Gibson is the ghost.
And he's like, that son of a bitch.
Mm. Yes. Yes, indeed. Thing is, this movie is, like, really long, but it actually goes pretty fast.
Mm. It's like Showgirls. Showgirls is quite long, but you don't really notice the length.
No, because you're too busy laughing your head off at everything. Because it's just like, yeah, it's Showgirls. And there will be probably several commentaries for that movie on the site.
Oh, we can only hope. Yes, I recently got a friend to watch it for himself after so long. And he said to me, I feel so bad for not having seen this earlier.
Yeah, I've had that reaction as well after getting people to watch it.
I mean, you love it, but you can't respect it.
I respect it all the way. Although it's funny, when Bede actually watched it for his Bad Movie Tweet-a-thon, I think he said it was one of the only movies he could actually, like, watch straight through without kind of stopping and kind of writing out his tweets or anything. I think he just went with it, like, really easily. I'm like, yep, that's Showgirls.
Hmm.
Where's it been all your life?
It's just, like, it's one of those films that it needed time to, you know, fade into the background a little bit before people start to dig it up again and start to look at it from a brand new perspective.
Mm.
Because these days, like, it's actually legitimately written up to be as some sort of satire. As per Verhoeven's usual sort of, you know, method of movie making and storytelling, he always has something very scathing to say about society, especially Western American society, and how it treats itself, how it treats its people, you know, how it responds to different things. But Showgirls will always be one of the most entertaining films ever made.
Yeah, a lot is just Elizabeth Berkley's performance. Her very weird non-understanding of whatever performance and that script by Joe, however you say his last name?
Estevas.
Yeah. Who the fuck knows what drugs he was on?
I had no idea he had such astounding insight into the feminine psyche. Who'd have thought?
Yes, you gotta eat brown rice and vegetables and don't eat your chips.
I have a chip.
And you gotta obsess about your nails.
And the legitimate self-defense art of Nomi Foo.
Nomi Foo. With orange pasties on her nipples.
Why did she paint those things on her
butt? I don't fucking know what the deal with that is.
I've been trying to think about, you know, what does this mean? We've never seen her do it, so
we don't know what the motivation behind that is.
Well, Nefertiti said that Nomi does things half-assed because, by God, she does not. She goes the full way, baby.
And she cracks tantrums as well.
Oh, she cracks tantrums like a champ.
I'm glad we're doing a commentary for the Patreon. We've talked about Ridley Scott and Showgirls.
How amazing in that is that? I mean, goddammit, Showgirls.
In the Tavington off time. In the Tavington off time, let's just talk about everything else.
Sounds like a good idea to me. You know, if people were getting sick of this commentary, they would have switched it off a long time ago.
Yeah. If you can make it all the way through, 100 points for you. Well, we are waiting for, like, the big climactic scene.
You mean when Colonel Tavington gets naked?
Yes, in my dreams.
Yes, in all of our dreams.
Yes.
That's how babies are made.
it'll come up soon. We're just impatient bitches.
Yeah, we are. Let's face it.
Yeah.
So some of Gibson's mob had been captured by the Redcoats, so very soon Gibson will be showing up to make a deal with Tom Wilkinson's character, and that's when he will meet back up with Tavington, and they'll have that little sort of bitchy exchange. Oh, why didn't you kill me now?
Yeah, shit's gonna hit the fan.
Y'all fuckers need Jesus.
This is why we're friends.
And this is why we can't have nice things.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
I'm going to send this commentary to Mel Gibson.
Well, it's better that we send it to Mel Gibson than Jason Isaacs, because if we sent it to Jason Isaacs, he probably would need an restraining order.
I was going to say, he's going to put a restraining order on us. Now, are those Great Danes, the dogs?
Yes, they are.
And they're cute.
I love Great Danes. I really do. I love they have such dogs, long though. Legs.
Yeah, Great Dane would be bigger than me. Let's face it, unless it's a Chihuahua, dogs are generally bigger than I am. Actually, let's face it, unless it's Peter Dinklage, then everyone is pretty much bigger than I am. Look at the doggies, they're cute.
It's a doges.
And as I'm talking,
I like how he's managed to domesticate them to sort of, like, obey his commands rather than their original master, Cornwallis.
And as I'm talking, Roddy, like, had his little face under his little blanket in his bed.
He probably thought that you were talking to him.
I know, he sort of got up now because I was going, oh, look at those doggies. And like, how dare you talk about other doggies? I'm your one and only.
How dare you? I thought we had something.
I'm sorry, Waddy. You're my little baby.
He's your little baby boy.
Well, the other night I thought he can stay on my bed and he freaking comes and wakes me up by licking me on the face. I don't need that, Roddy. With your stinky dog breath.
He wanted to give you a kiss.
He did, and he just licked it all over my face, and I couldn't stop him because I had no energy.
No, stop it.
Like,
no.
Roddy, stop it. And he just doesn't. He gets excited. He's funny like that. He's my little boy. See, talking about Roddy is much more interesting than Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it just goes to show, right?
I'm just waiting
they
for the
They could be talking about their underwear in this sequence, but we wouldn't really, really care.
it's I don't know. I'm not that interested at the moment.
I don't think they actually wore underpants in the way that we think about underpants.
No.
Because I think they wore breeches and they were like long trousers and they basically hung loose. Like,
I will look up like 1800s underwear. Yes, they basically were like long shorts.
And I don't think women wore panties. They basically...
No, they wore the same kind of things. They wore the little shorts.
Hmm. Or sometimes they didn't wear anything at all and they just wore shifts and put their skirts over that. So if they needed to go to the toilet, they wouldn't need to take anything off.
Yeah, especially with those, like, big hoop skirts.
Can you imagine going to the toilet in those?
No, so I never would want to wear one, ever.
You'd probably, like, end up with the back of it over your head showing off your...
I probably wouldn't I probably have to use
And then you trip over.
I probably have to use a glass to go to the toilet in.
You'll need somebody to hold up your skirt when you go.
Yes. I'd need 1,000 servants just to go to the toilets in a hoop skirt.
Yes, I need my butt wiper. Butt wiper, where are you?
Ugh, it's
not going to wipe itself.
That'll be Jason Isaac's job.
Oh, I can think of something else for him to do.
Oh, no, I was going to say, he can be in charge of the nether regions.
The Neverland.
Oh, lordy, lordy. I'm waiting for something to happen in this movie. Hurry up, movie. Make things happen.
Oh, he's coming soon. In a couple of seconds.
He's coming. He's coming.
Oh, he's coming. Oh.
No, look at those doggies.
Oh, there he is.
Oh. You're ahead of me. I'm still on the dogs.
Again.
Damn it, Bee.
Oh, I can't help it if I'm eager for some Tavington action. Can you blame me? Oh,
there he is now. Oops. There we go. I'm just trying to skip ahead a little. There he is. Is somebody asking him if his son died or something?
Yeah, he basically says, I know who you are.
Mm.
And he could totally, do me in the ass, make me breakfast.
Have to make you breakfast if he was doing it there.
Well, yeah, it's only polite.
It is.
If a guy is going to give it to you up the pooter, you got to expect something in return rather than just an orgasm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I think he should make you breakfast and dinner. And lunch.
And snacks.
And make sure he's, a good cook.
Hmm.
They go to the doggies.
I don't think he'd necessarily be such a domestic goddess, so to speak.
Well, the dogs have run off. They're we want Mel Gibson.
We love Mel. He's our daddy.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? And then you discover their ruse. Idiots.
Dumbasses.
You're British. You're supposed to be smart and shit.
What the fuck is he wearing? It's got flowers on it.
And he's getting all mad at Tabs again.
While he's wearing flower jacket.
He's trying to keep a straight face.
While he's wearing that.
Oh, I gotta say, he wears those black trousers very well.
Mm. And those boots.
Mm. And the high collar of his shirt.
And his big buckled thingy.
Mm.
It's just a buckle thingy. I don't fucking know what it's called.
Let's just call it a buckle thingy.
Yeah. That's Marcy language. It's always a thingy if I don't know what it is.
Pass me the scalpel thingy. Pass me the forceps thingy. Pass me the thingy that does the thingy in the thingy.
Yes. Oh, God. It looks like he's in a nighty in that floral ensemble.
Yes, doesn't it?
It does.
He turns off like he wants to go to bed.
His little nighty.
Do you think he takes a stuffed toy with him to bed to sleep with?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Bubbles.
Gotta love tubbies.
You gotta love how snooty Tabington always looks.
Oh, he does.
Like, he's always trying to, like, maintain a sense of, you know, superiority about himself.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does, is Lucius Malfoy. I mean, but he literally does think he is the best thing ever.
He's like he feels he's like the most smartest, fiercest, most able warrior. Like he's the one who deserves all the glory that is to be got from this war.
Mm. Get over Adam Baldwin. Oh, so cute.
Attaboy! And his character is like a defector from the Americans. He's working for the British. Mm. But he is actually American.
Mm.
Asshole!
Jerk face.
Dick muncher. Dick butt.
Dick butt.
Dick butt.
Or is one of my insults that makes no sense when I just yell it out, like, you dick wanker. Wait, that's what a wanker is. They wank their dicks.
Owner operator.
I was watching the wrestling and The Miz was on and I hate him. And he was pissing me off and I just yelled out, dick wanker. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And my mom's like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, he wanks dicks that aren't his own, and he tries to get paid for it, but no one wants to.
It's not a gay porn either.
Mum's like, that's not any better. I'm like, oh, shut up.
And here comes Tarrington and his boys to search Jolly Richardson's house.
I can see them with their little fiery torches.
You know what? Tarrington can totally raid my house anytime.
Mm-hmm.
He can take whatever he wants from it. He can plunder my treasures. He can steal my heirlooms.
And you know that he so would.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he bloody better.
Like, you bloody better.
Bloody better.
How dare you?
How dare you not take my heirlooms?
How dare you not plunder in my britches?
How dare you not ravish me?
Mm-hmm.
wrong my brain.
And I'm getting a bit tired, but that's all right. I will manage. See, the movie is so much more interesting when he's on screen.
It is. Once again, we're not just saying that because we find him hot. It's because...
But that's just the kind of actor he is, though. He definitely commands the screen when he's on.
Hmm. He's like Andrew Devoff from the first two Wishmaster movies.
Which I've never seen.
Hmm. Like, he's just... The moment you see Devoff on the screen, he commands your attention. Mm. No matter what you think of the rest of the movie, like, when you see his face, you're automatically intrigued by what he's going to do.
Mm. I don't really remember what happens here. Yeah, I don't really remember this. The scene I remember the most is his shaving scene. Because, come on, that's so hot. Oh, baby.
Pornography! Yeah, you totally would not walk straight.
No, need a cold shower after that.
a very sort of responsible young woman, isn't she? Like, she's taking control of all these kids and keeping them safe.
Don't they burn it down? Because they just like burning houses in this movie.
They're a bunch of fucking pyromaniacs.
Yeah, they are. Just burn it down.
And that was a really nice house. Why do they have to do that?
No, they shot a black man. How racist of them. Well, I need to go get another drink because I'm thirsty. I will be back shortly.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie die. Yes, so I do apologise in case our rambling has somewhat put you all off, but we really don't mean anything by it. We're just basically doing it in the name of fun. We don't get any profit out of this. We just have, all we get is just a lot of satisfaction. So if you like it, that's fantastic. If you don't, we're not going to hold it against you.
And I'm back.
And she's back.
Were you just giving a disclaimer about our behaviour?
Yes, somewhat like of a an interval of apology.
Yes, well, I do put a disclaimer on every audio commentary.
This will be triple X.
Please do not take offence to this commentary. It's all in good fun.
Mostly.
I mean, this family, bloody hell. Two houses burned down. Jeez, a kid murdered. Pretty soon another kid's going to get murdered. Spoiler alert.
Barp, barp, barp. Well, if they're listening to this commentary, chances are they've already seen the film.
Yes. I think everyone has seen this movie. It was a pretty big sort of movie at the time, as we mentioned already. Don't mind me on the side. I'm just playing my Kim Kardashian game, and don't hold it against me, anyone. I don't like Kim Kardashian. I don't like any Kardashian, but I love this game, so shut up.
So, yeah, shut up.
So, shut up, right? I like this game, right? Keeps me sane, right? Excuse me, on this game, I'm an A-lister, and I'm about to get my own reality TV show. That automatically makes me better than you. Is this their old, like, workers' place, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like some sort of a rebel camp base or something like that.
Because they're hugging that lady who was at their place before. Because as I'm watching this, I don't really have the volume on. I've just got subtitles, but it's not like I'm reading them.
Oh, I'm just... I have the TV sound down quite low, but it's got to the point that I basically know what's going on.
Yeah. I haven't seen this for so long.
Most of the time you basically rewinded, or rather fast forwarded.
Yeah, I just watch all the Tavington bits. I don't give a shit about anything else.
Or else going on YouTube and watching all these sequences.
Yes. It's basically like going on YouTube and watching all the good bits of Basic Instinct 2.
And let's face it, there's only like a couple of good bits.
Yeah, it basically involves David Morrissey naked.
Yeah, and giving it to some girl up the butt.
Yeah.
I can't even talk properly.
I said what? In the butt.
In the butt.
Do it in my butt, in my butt. I said what? In the butt. Thank you once again, South Park.
In the butt, in the butt, in the butt, butt, butt. Yeah, I want to hear Angry Joe do a, like a follow-up to his ass and titties video. Ass, titties, ass, and titties.
And there's actually a song, and you need, I don't think you believed me till I sent you the link. There was actually a song that was just basically ass and titties.
Ass and titties. Yeah, up until that point, I thought it was just like a parody that Angry Joe, a YouTube video game reviewer, I might add, just in case, for people those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
He made up, rather, the song was made up from a review he did of Metro, First Light, I think it was, or Last Light. And he's basically talking about the usage of nudity in the game. Mm. And just halfway through the review, he starts to burst out from the song saying, ass, titties, ass, and titties.
And I said, there is actually a song that's just basically, all it is ass and titties, ass, and titties. And then I sent you the link to that song. It's actually
quite catchy.
Well, I heard that song in the campaign where the kids are at the dinner table. They're like, put your headphones on so the adults can talk, and then the kids are listening to that song.
Ass, titties, ass, titties.
So basically, at this point in the movie, Tavington's like just burning down everyone's house and killing everyone.
Because why the fuck not?
Yeah, exactly. As you said, they're like pyromaniacs. Is that the right, like, term for somebody who sets fires?
Yeah, pyromaniac.
Yeah. Not even X-Men's pyro does that much fire.
Well, I don't think pyro actually makes a fire. He more or less manipulates
it. He controls it, but even then, he doesn't, like, do that much fire.
Mm. He isn't like Iceman, because Iceman creates his own sort of source.
Mm. See, we're talking about X-Men in The Patriot.
Oh, it would be so awesome if Hugh Jackman played a bad guy.
Oh my god, kill me now. He should play a bad guy that's, like, generally always, like, shirtless. That would be hot.
For some reason, he keeps on losing his shirt.
Yeah, he can't keep his shirt on, and then he just, like, grabs a bucket of water and just pours it all over himself.
Yes, we're just making a reference to Australia and what we affectionately call the bucket scene.
Yes. He's like, this is my ice bucket challenge.
And he puts the toothbrush in his pants. And
Boom chicka wowa.
And his love scene with Nicole Kidman later on in the movie. That's pretty hot. I mean, it's not pornographic and it's nothing naughty, but it's still pretty hot.
Mm. Yes. Yes, yeah, I love how off-topic we get in this commentary.
Well, it's not like you haven't done it before.
No. Not at all. Since when do I ever go off-topic about anything?
Oh, please. You're completely straightforward.
Oh, yeah.
On the straight and narrow. Very, and very tense. Educated conversation about the film.
Oh, yes. Tense. That's all right. Last commentary I did was with Garrett, and we did it for The Lawnmower Man. But I basically broke out, like, every time Jeff Fahey was on screen shirtless going, oh, my God, hello. Because let's face it, he was an attractive man back then.
Dude.
He was an attractive man back then.
Yeah.
And he was buff.
But his character got all smart and shit.
Yeah, he did. Well, that was a fun commentary. We were on topic a lot of the time. Except for when we went.
I think it's because it just might be the fact that Garrett is a guy and you're a girl. And when you have another girl commentary, with a film with very attractive men, we do tend to get off topic.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's just like, you know, if we're watching a movie and there's some hot chick in it, the guys are going to go crazy.
Of course, so it's only fair.
And I mean, if we were watching a movie with Eva Green, we would all turn into horn dogs because who the hell doesn't love her?
Pretty much.
Yup. No, does something happen in this movie? Hurry up.
Come on, where's my naked Tavington scene?
Yes.
Where's he should porn? Be naked, damn it.
Where's naked. The Tavington porn?
Oh, shaving by the stream.
Yeah, that's the Tavington porn scene.
But yeah, that's the porn. I mean, it would be nice if he wasn't wearing any clothes, but yeah. You gotta take what you've been given.
And we're up to a wedding scene, and she's basically going to become a widow.
Oh, young love. It's going to be such a shame when you see both of them die in horrible ways.
Mm. We're so kind.
So kind and considerate and loving.
That's us.
I wouldn't mind going to a party like this. I think it'd be cool.
Looks like they know how to party. Movie, just make something happen already.
Movie, you know what we want. Don't be like this. Don't make us strip down to our underpants and throw it at the screen. Oh, wait, I've already done that.
We did that the second he appeared on screen.
Every time you see a frame of him, like, throw your underpants at the screen. Or your bra or your panties.
Yeah. Because underwear isn't panties. Wait, what?
Well, you can't exactly throw your boobs at the screen. So.
Just rub my boobs against the screen.
Rub your butt against the screen.
Not that we do that often. Oh, I mean, no. At all.
Of course not. Not at all.
We don't ever do that.
How dare you? How dare you say that?
We don't ever do that.
No. We just lick the screen with our tongue.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
And we say, we want you in us. You okay?
Yes, barely.
And there's Mel Gibson getting lucky.
Yeah. As he does, because he's Mel Gibson.
Apparently. That's how it works, people.
Yep.
It's kind of sucky that the newlyweds had only had to spend, like, one night together, and That's it, before, you know, Heath Ledger's character has to go back onto the battlefield
That's always the tragedy of these sort of stories. It's always like, oh, they only had one night together.
It's like Sarah and Kyle from The Terminator.
Yeah. Or Jack and Rose from Titanic.
But
there was room for two people, Rose. What a greedy bitch.
On the fucking bloody door. Jesus Christ. Like, the Mythbusters confirmed that, yes, Jack would have fit on the door.
Yeah. James Cameron, you fucked up big time.
You fucked up now.
And what is it? They're both James Cameron movies. What the hell, James Cameron?
Well, it could just be the fact that, you know, James Cameron likes to show sort of strong female characters in the movies. So perhaps he has a partiality to seeing the woman survive. And you know what? That's pretty cool. I'm fine with that.
But he's always just like, you get one night with a man. That's it, bitch. Suffer.
One night of passion and that's it.
That's it. Suffer,
you open your legs once and that's it.
Suffer, bitch. And in Sarah Connor's case, pregnant, bam.
Well, yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm. Once is all it takes.
Oh, now the little girl talks. Aw. Mm.
That is really cute.
It's a touching scene.
Yeah.
Even
which is amazing corner. Considering this is a Roland Emmerich movie. It feels more genuine.
Even with my icy cold heart.
My cold, cold heart.
It melted just a little bit.
Hmm.
But now it's back to being ice.
Where's Tarrington? Where is Tarrington?
Yes, hurry up, Tarrington.
I want to keep on throwing my underwear at the screen and rubbing my boobs up against the television.
Yeah, that's going to make him arrive quicker.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
In the butt.
You in the butt. She's such a horn dog.
Oh, and I suppose you're not.
No, I'm innocent.
You're a total nun, aren't you?
Yes. I'm just taking some time out from the convent to watch a movie.
Yes, of course you are. I completely believe that.
Mm-hmm. Totes.
Totes my goats.
Totes my goats. Does something happen now? No, it's still boring.
Well, very soon the church is going to burn down.
Yeah, because fucking everything burns down in this movie. You can't explode everything, we're just going to burn everything down.
You got to have a substitute.
Yes. It's like if Michael Bay made a movie like this, everything would just be on fire.
I remember when you and I and Heather were talking about the whole sort of church sequence. Like, in 2000, like, we saw this terrible, horrible act committed by this terrible, horrible character. But did we care?
No.
Did we really care? No, we didn't.
No. We were just horn dogs.
Was and always will be. We're just better at hiding it. Ordinarily speaking.
I was going to say, or not hiding it at all.
It depends on what day you catch us on.
Oh, look, he's in the full uniform now.
Oh, there we go.
You traitor.
Dirty motherfucker.
How dare you, Adam Baldwin. I believed in you, man. Well, I can say I have met someone from this movie. Hello, Tavington.
Riding into the church on his horse. What a dick.
That's so him.
I am just all above you.
Doesn't he burn it down with everyone inside?
Yeah, he does. He basically conceals them inside the church, bars the windows and everything, and sets that sucker on fire.
So wait, then that would make Heath Ledger the widow, isn't that his wife in there?
Yeah, that's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, her in the blue dress and the white veil.
See, this was like one of the plots in The Vampire Diaries where they're all locked up in a church or building or something and they all got burnt to death.
Mm-hmm.
Or some shit, I can't remember. I haven't seen that show for ages. I stopped watching it ages ago as well.
Oh, he's such a fucking prick.
He is. That's why we love him.
Yeah, that's why I want to wrap my legs around him.
Yeah, you see, when I was younger, the bad guy type that I was madly in love with was Kiefer Sutherland, and he never used to play, like, a good guy. It was always It was always in bad guy roles that... And this is when I was, like, 12, and I was, like, hungry for the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I used to have, like, pictures of him in my desk at school.
I've always had a crush on Kiefer Sutherland. He's, like, one of those actors who I can just look at and he's a good-looking guy. He's a great actor. Very sort of quirky as well. And when he tackled the Christmas tree, that was one of the best things ever.
I think it was weird, like, when he played Jack Bauer as kind of a heroic character. That's so not how, like, I would see him. To me, he was always, like, the bully in Stand By Me. Or, you know, the
vampire.
Yeah, or the badass vampire, or the freaking dirty freaking rapist, or something bad.
Oh, there we go.
There's the church
burn,
burning.
Burn, baby, burn!
Burn the church down.
Ooh.
I'm surprised Mel Gibson allowed this in the movie. A burning church full of people.
Burn, baby, burn! Well, and now Adam Baldwin's feeling like absolute shit.
Yeah, he was like, I didn't agree to burn a church down full of people. I thought we were just burning the church down, not the people. So cruel.
And once again, did we care? No, we didn't.
We don't have feelings like Adam Baldwin's character does. We're just mean.
I like the fact that even though it is Tavington's idea, he puts Adam Baldwin's character up to it.
Mm.
He basically manipulates him and...
Mm. And now he's kind of feeling that regret of what he's done. Yes.
This isn't what he actually signed up for.
Mm.
Because these are a bunch of innocent people, not soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a really full-on scene too. They handled it well, I think. It's well shot. It's not too graphic. But it gets the point across.
Mm. It definitely does. And it basically comes down to the acting.
Mm. I think Adam Baldwin actually really does a good job of getting those like feelings across as well.
Where he doesn't need to speak, you can just see it in his eyes. Mm. Like in that shot when he was watching it burn down, like you could tell that his soul had disappeared from his body.
Mm. And that's what makes him like a really great actor, because he doesn't need to talk to get things across. He actually has a really good presence about himself.
Oh, that can't be easy. It really can't.
Mm. This movie just wants to torture everyone, like, so badly. I think in that respect, it kind of, I don't know, you get a sense of real disbelief.
Mm.
See, I got it wrong. It's actually Heath Ledger that became a widow. Either way, someone would have been widowed.
But again, it was handled very sort of in a very mature fashion.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't exploitation type or anything.
No, not at all.
Mm. But again, I haven't seen this for so long. Like, I freaking don't remember anything.
But even so, like, when you show a sequence like that, you're walking a thin line. Like, you gotta, you know, display the terror and futility of the situation, but you don't want to see these poor people suffer too much.
I mean, I don't know if anything like this actually happened. I think this movie just goes, like, way too full on. See, because I haven't seen this for so long, I thought Heath Ledger would have died in this movie already. My timeline.
Oh, it's almost up to that point, but oh.
Oh, wait, our favourite scene's going to come up, isn't it?
Oh, God.
You just had a premature orgasm. How many fucking fires are in this movie? Oh, hold on, shut up, everyone. Here it is.
Oh, God.
There we go.
I think it just came in my pants.
You just creamed your pants. You shave that face, baby.
And look at that hair. Like,
I love his hair.
Oh,
I love that long hair. I think it's just so hot.
I want to plait it. I want to make it into like nice little ponytails.
Do you want to do a Chris Pratt, do you?
Yeah! Oh, God.
Oh, Tavington, you bastard.
You sexy, cruel, vindictive bastard.
Mm-hmm. Don't you love his, like, frilly shirt? Mm. Oh, poor Heath Ledger.
Ah.
B, calm down. Oh, look at him with his sword and...
Ah!
Yeah.
Yeah, Marcy, calm down.
I was just waiting for that sword and, you know, his unbuttoned shirt and everything. Hold your horses, Marcy.
Whoa.
And they do this whole thing in slow motion just to, like, torture us even more. Oh, look at him, you stab that bitch. I mean, what?
He penetrated him.
Jesus, B. Look how long it takes them to bloody load their weapons.
Oh, yeah, very sort of wildly impractical.
Yeah, it doesn't take me 10 minutes to load my pistol.
Hang on, give me a second. Oh, hurry up, man. Let's
put me gunpowder in there. Oh, there goes Odo. Uh-huh. Oh, dear.
Jizz in my pants.
See, at this point, most people thought, like, Heath Ledger was going to kill him, but nope.
Nope.
Not until he gets in a massive shot.
I remember watching this part with my mother, and I turned over to her and I said, wouldn't it be funny if, like, you know, Isaac's character was still alive and he killed Heath Ledger? And, like, a second later, it that actually happened. And my mum looked at me and was like, I did not know that I was going to. I have not seen this movie.
Yeah. I think you can just tell that it's going to happen.
Oh, of course. But still, the look she gave me was priceless.
I know, if I ever do that with my mum, she's like, you read spoilers, didn't you? And I'm like, no. I'm just smart, mother. It was like when we watched Law and Order or something, like with the new ones, and I, like, guess who the killer is or something. She's like, did you read spoilers? I'm like, no. I'm just smart, mother.
I like the look on Tavington's face, like, when he stabs Ledger, it's like, yeah. Shit.
He practically has an orgasm when he does it.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
Oh, there goes Heathy boy. He actually did die in quite a few of his movies, didn't he?
He did. Which is tragic in a sense, isn't it?
Mm. But I guess every actor has those moments in their films.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, Liam Neeson or Sean Bean. How many times have they died in movies?
He's practically died in every movie except, like, Silent Hill.
Mm. Oh, and Mirror Mirror, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, and that other movie where he was, like, played a husband in it, that Charlize Theron movie where he played the nice guy for a change.
North County. Yes, that's right.
How do we not mention Sean Bean as, like, one of the sexiest bad guys ever?
Oh, I know! A couple of nights ago, I was watching Goldeneye.
My favorite. You know.
Every time I see that movie, I think of this term, double penetration.
Yes. 006 is, like, one of the sexiest things ever.
Oh, you know, that scar does nothing to make him look ugly. He I think still it just makes so him look so sexy.
Yeah. And we should mention how much we love the last Bond villain, too.
Oh.
Oh, so sexy.
So sexy.
Oh.
And he has to watch another one of his sons die.
Yeah, well, Mel Gibson, that's what you get for being Mel Gibson.
That's what you get for being an asshole.
Ow. That's what you get for making Passion of the Christ, Mel.
Nobody wants Passion of the Christ, bitch. And he's having a little momentary freak out.
Mm-hmm. As only Mel Gibson can.
Just without the racial slurs. Oh, another sexy bad guy. Jerry Dandridge from Fright Night.
Oh my god, how did we not think of him?
Oh my god.
He's like one of the best.
Yes. Yes, please.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Just watching like that dance scene makes me into a woman all over again.
Even though we know Amanda Beers was a lesbian, surely she must have been straight for about 10 minutes while she was dancing with Chris Sarandon.
Yes, I think so. I think we'll have to do a commentary for that movie, and it'll probably be worse than this.
Yes, yes, yes. Can you imagine us, like, watching that scene? Like, when we're doing the commentary, like, I don't think the listeners will be able to listen to any sort of comprehensible English language.
Yeah, my reaction just before is nothing compared to what will happen. There you go, folks. That one will be in the cards.
I'll be in my bunk. I'm erect.
Oh, dearie me.
Oh, be oh my, oh, dearie me.
Just give me a moment to collect myself.
Uh-huh. That's what you call it.
Shut up. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah.
Let me just do an ice bucket challenge to cool myself down.
I like Luke Evans's ice bucket challenge. And he waddled like a penguin.
He's so cute.
Yeah, another thing Marcy and I will probably try to do a conversational review of Dracula Untold if all things go well.
Yes, I do intend to see it, so we'll definitely do that. And I might add, him as a bad guy is very hot.
Yes, like, we don't quite know if this version of Dracula is going to be more of a good guy or a bad guy, but I'm pretty sure, one way or another, he's going to have to break out the bad at some point.
Yeah, and it'll be so hot.
Oh, yeah. That Welsh bastard.
Oh, God. Oh, you know who else is really hot? Michael Sheen in Underworld.
I love Michael Sheen no matter what. He's one of the best parts of the Twilight movies as well.
He hammed it up so much.
And he was having such a damn good time with it.
But he kind of does that. He likes hamming things up. But him as Lucian in Underworld... Jesus Christ, that's hot.
With that long hair and the perch of feather. You mean, it wasn't just about Kate Beckinsale, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Sexy man that he is.
And he managed to, like, walk around with his chest showing most of the time.
Yes,
he did. For no apparent reason.
Yes, he did. God, I'm losing my voice. Gotta shut up for a while. All this yelling about sexy men.
Stop drooling.
All this yelling about sexy men is not doing me any favours here.
Yeah, constantly going, oh my god!
Yeah. We forgot a very important bad guy that's actually really, really hot.
Oh, really? Who was
it? And I would just say Elysium.
Oh, my God.
See? Yeah, you're doing it.
You made me want to settle down, baby.
Oh, my God, that accent.
Just the fact, most of the time, Kruger, played by Charlton Copley, like, walks around in his boxes.
And he's just so slimy and good. And he's just...
And kind of rapey.
Ugh, he's such a... Bleh. It's a god, we just love him. Ugh. Another ice bucket challenge to cool me down. Ooh, take that shirt off, Mr. Isaacs. That long hair. Bloody clothes.
Yeah, put it in me.
You dirty, dirty girl.
Oh, spank me, spank me.
He will with that big sword of his.
Oh, I'm counting on it.
He might pistol whip you. Woohoo! Marcy, shut up.
No, you're not helping. You're really not. Oh, fuck me.
That's okay. I'll just do him instead. Is the movie over yet? No, all right. It's not interesting when he's not on.
No, it's not as interesting. But it surely does have some sort of audience with the people who are interested in this time period and the weaponry and all that sort of stuff. I mean, again, it's not historically accurate, but it's got a decent representation of several elements.
Mm. See, now this movie's just gone a little bit too long.
Yes.
There was no
freaking... Not enough Tavington. We need more Tavington.
They needed, like, a Tavington fully naked, like, something scene.
Or having a bath.
Yes.
Having a bath and having some lucky lady wait on him. And Tom Wilkinson's character comes in and there he sees Tavington bonking this chicken. You won't be able to get that mental image out of your head now, will you?
No. I like how they show him making bullets out of his son's old soldiers.
Hmm. It's a nice sort of callback to the connection he had with his sons and his devotion to them.
But it also showed that they kind of needed, like, everything. And we go with the drumming, even though that guy's, like, face is bleeding.
You got to give him points for having the bravery to go out onto that battlefield, knowing the certain death will be facing.
Yeah,
look how crazy. Friggin' meaty there are. Ugh.
I'm getting a little bit tired now.
Really? I couldn't tell.
Plus, you know, there's no, like, Tavington sex scene or nude scene to look forward to.
Well, we can always go to fan fiction now, can't we?
That is true.
Read it before you go to bed every night.
And then not sleep the whole night.
Yeah, I'll probably spend a lot of time being sexually frustrated.
To the point where, like...
Your hands are going to hurt by the time the sun comes up.
To the point where Jason Isaacs has to take out a restraining order for stalking.
Oh, God. God help us if he listens to this.
Hey, say maybe he'll be flattered.
Maybe in some sort of perverse sense, but I don't think he'd want his wife to hear this.
Let's hope she doesn't hear it.
Oh, God. She'd have to be a very good sport if she did.
She might get the restraining order.
Get these bitches away from my husband!
Because I'm sure she sounds like that.
You know what? I'm not even sorry.
I don't think I've laughed this much for ages.
Well, at least you're not bored.
No.
I can't speak for the rest of our listeners.
Yeah, oh, who knows cannibal. How they're handling this situation. At least this commentary is probably a bit more interesting than, like, a Roland Emmerich commentary.
I've actually listened to the commentary on this DVD, and it's kind of amusing to listen to him talk about American history in his, like, his German accent. Yes, the American Revolution is very good.
That's about his understanding of it.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I go to America.
If you want to hear, like, one of the best, like, just most hilarious commentaries, listen to Paul Verhoeven and Arnold Schwarzenegger do it for Total Recall. Because Arnold just describes every single scene. He's like, this is me. This is my character. Oh, look, it's Sharon Stone on screen.
Oh, I'm getting my ass kicked by Sharon Stone.
Yeah, that's basically, he just describes what's on screen. And Verhoeven, like, tries to, you know, give arguments to and for both of the theories. But I think his intention was it wasn't real.
Mm.
But again,
like, it's more or less a fantasy.
Yeah, and it is a really good commentary. It's just funny to listen to. It's entertaining. But then again, I think that's all Arnold does on his commentaries, and I think he quite understands what they're for. But then again, he does love himself. I have read his book.
He's definitely got charisma. That's the main thing. Yeah, that's why he's managed to endure for so long.
Yeah, he does. If anyone that's not in Australia, go look up the real estate ads with Arnold that they show on TV here. They're actually really funny. He, like, pokes fun at himself.
He's got a sense of humour. Yes.
Yeah, he does. Even my niece Lily found the commercial funny where he's walking outside a house that he's just looked at and there's a kookaburra and he goes, there's a funny looking pigeon. I can't do his accent. And Lily's like, pigeon. That's not a pigeon. That's a kookaburra.
That's a kookaburra.
Yeah, they are really funny because he pokes fun at himself. Hello, tabby boy.
That's pretty much the noise that we make every time he comes on screen.
I can't even do the noises anymore. That woke up Roddy. I shouldn't bark, should I, Roddy? This has become animal noises, the commentary.
Well, this is what Jason Isaacs tends to refer us to, animals. I am not an animal!
No, oh, did you become the elephant man? Don't talk about that movie, it's going to make me sad.
Oh,
I cry.
I feel it's one of David Lynch's best films.
It is. I cry every single time. Such a touching performance by John Hurt.
And Anthony Hopkins' character is just so compassionate towards John Merrick. He really is.
Yeah, it's not an easy one to watch, but it's a brilliant movie. It's also incredibly depressing. So it's the final battle of this movie.
Ah, yes.
I don't know why they just didn't just, like, set everyone on fire.
Yeah, yeah, that's something, isn't it? Well, then again, you have a cannonball explosion, so perhaps they couldn't fit both elements.
They should have just got, like, all their bloody torches and just lit the enemy on fire.
Yeah, but how have they managed to do that?
I don't know. They'll work it out. They bloody set everything else on fire in this movie.
Yeah, may as well. Perhaps they should, randomly light themselves on fire.
Yeah. It's like this movie has spontaneous combustion or something. The battle scenes are actually really good to watch.
Well staged, for sure.
Although I think I'm because I'm an idiot. I think I said this was the Civil War instead of the Revolution.
Not quite. Close, but not quite.
Yeah, don't mind me. I know what I mean in my head. It just comes out wrong.
Sometimes. It always makes sense in your head, but it may not always make sense when it comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, I know what I mean. I just say the wrong thing. It's called I'm confused.
Word salad.
You know, I don't generally remember my name, so you can forgive me for getting little minor details wrong.
Sometimes I forget how old I am.
How old are you, B? 17?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm 10. I'm 10 years old.
I think I'm 15 years old. It's my 15th birthday this year.
I'll always be 15 years old.
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Ow, 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 ow.
What is wrong?
Huh. Nothing.
Just weird reactional noises.
It just tends to bring it out of me. Well, hell, a few moments ago we're doing animal noises. I don't think we're...
It's because we're weird. This movie has a lot of bloody slow motion in it.
Yeah, before 300 made it cool.
Yeah. Before Zack Snyder freaking orgasms with it.
Oh my god. Can you imagine Zack Snyder orgasming in slow motion? Ooh.
I would not have that image in my head. Oh god. Mel Gibson, I'm just going to fight with my American flag.
Because I'm hard ass like that.
Yeah. This scene is just so lame.
Just get up to the final fight already.
Isn't this the final battle?
With Tavington and Gibson's character.
Oh god, don't you mean there's more?
Oh yeah, there's more.
How long is this movie?
Oh, about 2.5 hours. I think.
Well, we've recorded 2 hours and 37 minutes of commentary.
Wow. I think that's a first.
I think that's the longest commentary. I don't think it's the longest podcast, but it's definitely the longest commentary.
Well, I think it feels like the longest commentary because of, when Isaacs isn't on the screen. Like, the movie tends to show a little bit more of its length.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily criticism, because again, in general, it's not a bad film at all.
No.
It's quite good, compared to, Emmerich's other movie, but Isaacs just lights up the screen every time he's on. Mm. You can't take your eyes off him.
Mm. Gibson with his freaking flag. Just stab his horse. What did that poor animal ever do to you, Mel?
Yeah, you can kill all the people you want in a movie, but the moment you kill an animal, I'm going to hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that horse wasn't real, but it's the principle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh god, now I have to take 10 minutes to load his freaking pistol.
Ugh.
Yeah, shooting him in the arm is not going to kill him, Mel.
No, it's just going to piss him off even further.
Yeah. Get with it, Mel. Jesus.
Jesus, please, Christ.
Jesus!
Jesus!
Now here's their, like, hand, or weapon-to-weapon combat, whatever. Mm.
Crossing swords.
Crossing swords.
Is it just me, or does Isaac look really hot with that sliver of blood coming from his mouth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Geez, he just got headbutted by Mel Gibson.
Boosh! Basically, the film had been leading up to this moment.
Oh, yeah. He just killed, like, half his kids.
Only half? Let's say we aim for all of them.
Yeah, well, I think that was his intention. He didn't quite get there, though.
Well, damned if he didn't try.
Yeah, that's for sure.
God bless him.
He certainly tried his best. Oh, God, the bloody slow motion. Jesus.
Okay, we get it. It's a very sort of poignant moment.
Mm.
Well, don't just stand behind him. Kill him.
Mm-hmm. Just give him more moment to kill you, you silly boy.
I hate it when people do that. Like, if you have your enemies on their knees and they're, like, exhausted, don't wait. Just kill them.
Do what the Queen of Hearts would say. Off with his head!
Off with her head! That was a very good dodge. Very well timed.
You're still way ahead of me because he's only doing it now. Yeah, how the hell did he time that with his back to him? Like, really?
I don't know. It's
Mel Gibson.
I can't explain that. I'm sorry.
It's Mel Gibson. He has, like, freaking eyes at the back of his head, apparently.
Well, he's Mel Gibson. That's the excuse we've been using, so that's the excuse we're going to be using now. Yeah,
pretty much. Now the movie's, like, wrapping itself up a little bit, I hope.
Well, yeah, we're pretty much in the end.
Yeah.
Towards the end now. Yay! We still have a couple more years left to fight, but yay! Still thousands of more lives to be killed, but yay!
We did it! We killed Tarvington. That was the most important part.
He was the one who started it all.
It was all his fault.
Yeah, it was all his fault. Damn him for being so sexy and shit.
Well, I guess basically if it wasn't for the actions of Tarvington, none of this would have happened for Mel Gibson.
Pretty much.
Mm.
You know, never let the truth get in the way of a good yarn. That's the main thing. So, any closing thoughts about The Patriot in general?
It's an okay movie with a really sexy bad guy. I think that sums it up nicely.
It's a good movie if you're interested in the time period. I know quite a few people are. It's got good acting from most of the main cast. But don't go into this movie expecting a historical take.
Yeah, don't expect a history lesson. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So it's just one that you can kind of sit back and I mean, just because, you know, it is late here as we're watching it and we're just really wanting to watch Tarvington. I mean, take that away. It's actually, it goes really fast. It is mostly paced pretty decently, and it is a really good looking movie. So it definitely has a lot of, you know, pros for it. There are a few cons to it, as, you know, every movie has its pros and cons. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad... It's not a bad film by any means. But really, Tavington is the star of this movie.
He is one of the shining lights of this film.
Oh, look, the dogs are still alive.
And the fact that that little piece of trivia you gave at the beginning about Kevin Spacey being the original choice for Tavington, again, it would have been very fascinating, but if Spacey hadn't have, like, you know, been so expensive... and was cast.
I think the case of Jason Mel Gibson out. Being expensive.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing sometimes left to freaking hire anyone else. Yeah. There was nothing left to hire anyone else. I mean, he would have, I think, had an interesting take, but I think the right person ultimately got the role.
Yes, definitely. It's just one of those happy accidents.
It's a good case of, like, perfect casting.
Completely.
Like, everything just came together for it. So it's probably a good thing Mel Gibson was an expensive bastard. they're rebuilding. And there's nothing else to say.
No, they really. This commentary has basically sucked the life out of us.
Yeah, it has.
And in fact, it's almost like 11 o'clock in the evening here.
So. Yeah. Normally, with a commentary, we go through until the end credits. But if there's like 10 minutes of credits.
Like a Marvel movie.
Yeah. I think we may as well just like press stop here.
Yes, I agree.
And that concludes our commentary.
Yay!
Which has been and several...
And you managed to stay with us for the duration. Yes. Well done.
And it has been a long time coming. It's just mainly due to my own health and just having the time to kind of do it. So we've finally done it, and anybody who can actually manage to sit through the whole thing with us yapping on, congratulations.
You deserve a cookie.
You win.
A lot of cookies.
You win some special points. And with that, I think we will wrap it up. And, as usual, you can find us at supermarcy.com or look up Super Podcast on Facebook. I believe the address is... I freaking never remember my Facebook address for the page. I'm going to have to go onto Facebook and look it up. It is facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. And you can always follow Super Marcy on Twitter. And you can always look up Bea Harper on Facebook. If she wants to be friends with you, she will. and I'm too tired to like name off everywhere you can find us, but that'll do. And with that said, thanks for listening, and until next time, we have been two awesome, really just horny Aussie girls. So catch you later, everybody.
See you later, and have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.